At the convention last night, when Joseph Lieberman accepted his party's nomination for vice president, he spoke more than once about his Jewish religion. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has been thinking about the word Jew and its past and present use ever since Al Gore tapped Lieberman as the first Jew to be on a national party ticket.
If the Pulitzer Committee ever gets around to giving a prize for journalistic circumspection, they ought to give serious consideration to the way the Washington Post announced Gore's vice presidential choice on August 7th. The headline ran, "Gore taps Lieberman as running mate." And the story went on to talk about Lieberman's political background for 11 paragraphs before it finally got around to noting that he was, as the Post demurely put it, the first person of the Jewish faith selected to run on a national ticket. The rest of the press was neither quite so restrained in their placement of the information, nor quite so fastidious in conveying it. Actually, the first I saw of the story was in a copy of the San Francisco Examiner that was sitting on a rack when I stopped at the corner store that morning. The headline screamed, "Gore picks Jewish running mate," and it was only when I squinted at the subhead that I found out that the vice presidential candidate was going to be Senator Lieberman rather than, say, Larry King. That seemed an uncomfortably prominent placement to give the candidate's religion. I went around for the rest of the afternoon saying things to myself like, "Men come to lay carpet for Jewish homeowner." Apparently, the Examiner thought better of it, too. By the time the late sports edition came out, the headline had been changed to "Gore's Historic Pick for VP," which at least left you equally in the dark as to who the choice was and why he was significant. Most of the press tried to find a middle way between those extremes. The New York Times headline was "Lieberman Will Run with Gore," with the subhead "First Jew on a Major U.S. Ticket." Even that got a number of people upset, some who were indignant about the emphasis given to Lieberman's religion, and some who were just uncomfortable about seeing him baldly described as a Jew. It's odd to think that that word can still summon up so much uneasiness. But that was evident in the number of circumlocutions that the press found for Lieberman, from the Washington Post's "person of the Jewish faith" to the more common phrase "Jewish person," which I found in more than 40 newspaper stories about Lieberman that appeared in the week following the announcement. You kept seeing things like, "Will Americans vote for a Jewish person for vice president?" Why are people still diffident about calling somebody a Jew? It might be that the use of the word Jew as a noun is contaminated by its use as an attributive adjective in things like Jew lawyer, Jew banker, or Jew shortstop. That's not to mention the dazzlingly infelicitous phrase Jew person that was applied to Lieberman by the president of the Dallas chapter of the NAACP in the course of making some anti-Semitic remarks that promptly got him fired from his post. And then there's the verb to Jew down, which is clearly beyond the pale of polite conversation. There should be nothing offensive about using Jew as a bare noun, though, but even that gets some people rattled. It's an old story. For more than 150 years, the word Jew has been trailing a cloud of consternation behind it, ever since some people began to wonder whether anti-Semitism might be a social problem rather than an immutable part of the human condition. You can see the shift in the publishing history of Dickens' Oliver Twist. When the novel first appeared in 1837, Fagin was described as a Jew in just about every sentence. The Jew entered, the Jew replied, the Jew said. It gets to sound almost like a pronoun. But Dickens eliminated most of the occurrences of the word in later revisions of the novel. Other 19th century writers were even more leery of using the word Jew. The extreme case is Benjamin Disraeli's windy novel Coningsby, which describes its Jewish character Sidonia with every synonym and paraphrase available. He's an Israelite, then a Hebrew, then a Mosaic Arab. Or as Sidonia himself puts it to the young hero, "I am of that race that the apostles professed before they followed your master." It's a circumlocution that makes the Washington Post's "person of the Jewish faith" seem almost direct by comparison. Of course, not all authors were so circumspect. George Eliot used Jew all the time in her 1876 novel Daniel Deronda, where she waded into the Jewish question with a confidence bordering on chutzpah. That's the other tendency you could see in the press reaction to the Lieberman choice. If the Washington Post circumspection had an opposite number, it was in Time magazine's decision to call its cover story on the nomination "chutzpah" with an exclamation point. The article took the word from Lieberman, who had quipped that some people might describe the selection as an act of chutzpah, which Time defined as the Yiddish word for audacity. But actually, the word is a lot closer to nerve or effrontery than simple boldness. In Lieberman's mouth, it might be self-mockery, but coming from Time, it made it sound as if the nomination was an outrage, presumably not what they wanted to convey. Actually, the headline might count as a bungled act of chutzpah all by itself.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center. Coming up, some music you won't hear at the Democratic National Convention tonight. This is Fresh Air.